Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 12. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go, show yourself to the priest, and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Says indeed the word of God. I had no idea that I would be preaching on a passage where Jesus heals a person of an infectious disease on a Sunday where we learned that beloved members of our church have become infected with an infectious disease. That is the sovereignty of God, the wisdom of God. That is God foreordaining what his people should hear in a time like this. And I'm thankful for the sovereignty of God in this leading us to look at this passage this morning. But as we turn to this passage, I do want us to be very careful as to how we approach this text. I want us to use some caution here. Yes, I do believe God has ordained for us to hear this text read and preached upon this morning. And I think in our context, given what we are facing as a church, we will hopefully find a lot of comfort and hope and peace in this passage. But we need to draw our hope and comfort and peace from the true focus of our text this morning. There is a greater truth here in this passage that Luke is showing us, a greater truth than the fact that Jesus was able to perform this miracle of healing. Physical healing is not the main thrust of this passage this morning. Now, again, that should not discourage us. We are in a time right now as a congregation where we long for physical healing. And we can take comfort in knowing that the Jesus who is at work here in this passage is indeed the same Jesus who is reigning on his throne now. He is the great physician. He has the authority to heal physically. And we can take comfort from knowing that Jesus is on his throne, that he is still indeed today the great physician, that he is indeed still sovereign and has the power and has the authority today over all creation, from the most powerful rulers on earth to the smallest virus particle. There is no one or nothing which is outside of the rule and reign and authority of Jesus Christ. And we can take comfort from knowing that this Jesus who we read about in Luke chapter 5, this tender and compassionate Jesus, is indeed the same Jesus who is on his throne reigning and ruling today. And he is tenderly and compassionately watching over his flock. But again, while all of this is true, and it does give us hope, there is a greater truth and a greater reality being shown to us here in our text this morning. And that great truth is this: Jesus is the one with the power and authority to truly make us clean. Not just physically clean from infectious diseases, but he has the authority and the power to make a sinner clean, to make our souls clean. This is the truth we need to focus on this morning. That is the truth I believe Luke wants to teach us about and show us here in our text. And so keep that in mind as we work our way through this narrative of Jesus healing a leper. Let's look at this narrative first. And hopefully as we work our way through this narrative, you begin to see some details and come to understand what exactly is happening in our text this morning. And then with those facts, those details in mind, we will look then at this greater truth of Jesus cleansing the sinner. So Luke tells us that Jesus was in a city in Galilee, and a man full of leprosy approaches him. Now, we need to understand a few things about this. First, what is leprosy? Many of us may have an idea as to what leprosy is. There's a disease today we call Hansen's disease, and we usually associate Hansen's disease with leprosy. Now, I'm not a doctor, so I don't fully understand this, but what I do understand is that somehow the nerve endings, the pain receptors in someone's body stops working. And we might think, well, that's great, you know, you don't feel pain, but, you know, pain plays an important part in our bodies. It's a warning system. It alerts us that something's wrong. And so people don't have a working warning system. And so minor injuries like burning your hand on a hot pot, or maybe getting some boiling water dripped on you, or maybe even just a minor cut, go unnoticed and they go untreated. And what happens is then, of course, infection sets in and people begin to lose body parts, unaware of them, because they are not able to feel the pain. And so, in a sense, people with this kind of leprosy, Hansen's disease, are, and this may be gruesome, but it's important to recognize, are in essence walking corpses. Their bodies are rotting and decaying as they are living. But in the Bible, while that certainly is one type of leprosy that the Bible talks about, in the Bible, the word leprosy is not just referencing what we call today Hansen's disease. It's in reference to any number of diseases which manifest themselves in the skin. So any kind of rash or anything like that would kind of fall under that category of leprosy. So you see that leprosy is a broad category. There are some non-fatal types of leprosy, and then there are the more devastating fatal types of leprosy, like what we call today Hansen's disease. Luke, the physician, the doctor, notes that this man was full of leprosy. That is a medical term that he uses there to indicate that this man probably did have something like what we might call Hansen's disease today. He had a fatal case of it. It was very obvious to everyone that he was a diseased person. And this man was, in essence, walking around with a death sentence. So that's the first thing to understand. The second thing we need to understand is that this man, this leper, was not supposed to be in the city. In those days, and I think we can relate to this obviously, their only defense against infectious diseases was quarantine. Now, the difference between then and now is that they quarantine the sick. And in our situation, of course, it feels like everybody, whether we are healthy or sick, has to quarantine. That's the reality of our situation right now. But in those days, quarantine was the only defense against leprosy. And according to the Mosaic law, the law of Moses in the Old Testament, lepers, because of their infectiousness, were to stay outside of the city. They were not to have contact with anyone. There were leper camps set up outside of the populated areas of the people of Israel. And these people, lepers, they were considered unclean on every level, not just physically, because of their infectious disease, they were also unclean ceremonially. They had no contact with friends, family members, relatives. They were cut off from the fellowship of God's people. And if a leper, according to Old Testament law, was to approach an area where he knew there would be people around, they were to cover their top lip and you probably have heard this before, cover their top lip and walk around crying out, "Unclean, unclean," so that the crowds would know, stay away from this person. And so here is a leper, and he comes into a city. This is a shock that a leper in Israel would enter into a city, much less that a leper then would actually approach somebody. Here is this leper, this unclean person, entering into a city he was forbidden from coming into and approaching Jesus. And this man comes before Jesus and he falls on his face before him. It's an act of reverence. It's an act of worship. He falls on his face before Jesus and he says, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Notice what he says. This leper does not doubt the power of Jesus to heal. He knows Jesus can heal him. "You can make me clean, Jesus," he says. But also notice he did not assume that it was God's will for Jesus to heal him in that moment. This man is basically saying to Jesus what Jesus himself would later go on to teach his disciples to say in the Lord's Prayer. This man is basically saying to Jesus, "Thy will be done." This man is submitting himself to the sovereign, good, and perfect will of God. He is showing remarkable faith. He shows trust in the power and the authority of Jesus to heal him of his disease. And he shows trust and submission to the sovereign will of God. "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And as he does so, Jesus does something equally remarkable. He reaches out his hand and he touches this man. And Mark in his gospel gives us an account of this story, and Mark writes that Jesus was full of pity. And we sometimes think of that word pity as maybe demeaning. And we have maybe said at times in our lives to someone, "I don't want your pity." But in the New Testament, pity is synonymous with compassion. Jesus, full of compassion, stretches out his hand and he touches the leper. This is remarkable compassion. Remember what I just said about lepers and what their life was like. They were cut off from their friends and family, from the fellowship of God's people. The only people they are probably ever around are other lepers. And this man has probably not felt the touch of another human being upon him for years. We don't know how long he had his disease, but again, Luke says his disease is fairly advanced. We're led to believe this man has been a leper for quite some time. This is probably the first time he felt the touch of another human. Now, even I'm a bit of an introvert. Many of you know that. I like to keep a personal space around me. I have no problem keeping 6 feet apart from other people. Even I, after some time, would begin to miss the touch of other people. I can't imagine what it's like to live a life where you can have no physical contact with anyone else. But imagine what this man felt when he felt the hand of another person upon him. And the hand was not just the hand of another man. The hand was the hand of God incarnate, of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, upon him. The first hand that this man felt upon his life in years is the hand of God. And Jesus, out of compassion, not fearing the one who is unclean, reaches out, touches him, and he says, "I will, be clean." And he was healed. He was healed immediately and completely. It was a complete, visible, immediate healing, just like what we read in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And I was thinking about this, the manner in which Jesus heals, and I thought, you know, there might be something here for us this morning, a sort of a safeguard against the a safeguard for the people of God, a safeguard for the flock of Christ. Because there are many today who claim to be faith healers. Many people today who claim to have the same power that Jesus had in his earthly life to heal. They would say, well, Jesus said to his disciples that they would go on to do greater works than Jesus did, and that must mean that if Jesus healed, then we today have the same power to heal even more people than Jesus did. And there are people who will prop themselves up as so-called faith healers, claiming to have the gift, the spiritual gift of healing. Now, I'm not saying that God does not miraculously heal people. He does. He does do it. In his sovereignty at times, he says, I will be clean, and he works miraculous healings. But I am talking about people who masquerade as faith healers. They put on these big revivals, these big healing services. Maybe they have schools of supernatural ministry and they fill their campuses with so-called faith healers and people come to them for healing. And yet when you watch these faith healers, if you've ever been to a service or maybe you've watched it on TV or you've seen YouTube videos of certain so-called faith healers, it's always vague diseases that people are healed of. Someone has a terrible case of acid reflux or something like that, and they're healed of it. You never see the paraplegic, a truly medically confirmed paraplegic, wheeled in and healed. You never see someone who's missing an arm brought in and the arm grows back. You never see anybody raised from the dead. And the question I have too, especially now in this pandemic, is where are these faith healers? Why aren't they flooding the hospitals and healing everyone who's infected with this virus? The answer to that is these people are charlatans. They're not faith healers. They're claiming to do what Jesus did and they're doing nothing of the sort. Jesus was not a charlatan. He was not putting on a dog and pony show. He truly had, as the Son of God, the power and the authority to heal. And when he healed, it was complete, it was immediate, it was visible. There was no question in anyone's mind who witnessed his miracles that this man truly healed the sick and raised the dead. So I thought, you know, we need to make a contrast between the kinds of healings that Jesus did and the types of healings that many are claiming to do today in the power of Jesus' name. Let that be a guard for us. Let's use the Bible and the scriptures to discern what is true and what is false, even among those who claim to be Christians. Well, after Jesus heals this leper, he says something else to him. Jesus tells this man to not say anything about this healing. Don't tell anyone else. And this might remind us a little bit of what we heard in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus silenced the demons. Remember, the demons were saying, you are the Holy One of God, you are the Son of God. And Jesus silenced them. And Luke says he would not allow them to speak, for they knew he was the Son of God. This might remind us of that a little bit. And remember, I said in Luke 4, we're not sure why Jesus would silence the demons. We had a couple hypotheses as to why that might be the case, but we don't know for sure. Here, though, Luke chapter 5, it's a little different. We know why Jesus tells the man to not tell anyone about his healing. Because he says then, go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded as proof to them. You see, in the law, in the Old Testament, there are provisions for the cleansing of a leper. And Jesus, he did not come to undo the law. He did not come to make the law go away. He came to fulfill the law. Jesus, being obedient to the law, sends this leper to the priest to follow the provisions provided by the law in the cleansing of a leper. This, you can read about this, Leviticus chapter 14. Moses writes in Leviticus 14 that if a leper is cleansed, healed of his disease, he is to first go to the priest and be examined. And then the priest is to confirm the healing. You see, the priests were not just religious leaders in those days. They were also health inspectors. And so it's the priest who has to confirm, yes, this man has been healed. And then if the priest confirms that this disease is gone, there's a whole procedure of what happens next. It's really an 8-day long ceremony, a joyous event, I believe, filled with sacrifices and ceremonial washings and cleansings. And it all concludes on the 8th day with the priest making an atoning sacrifice and declaring formally and officially that this leper is clean. And thus, the leper then is restored to the fellowship of God's people. And so Jesus says, don't go and tell anyone else. Follow the law of Moses here. And the point of that is, the leper is not the one who is to declare himself clean. The priest is the one who is to make it official that this man has been healed and is now clean and brought back into the fellowship of God. That is why Jesus says, tell no one else. But Mark, again, in his gospel, tells us the man doesn't listen. Luke hints at it here. The man doesn't listen. He can't keep his mouth shut, really. And I think we could probably sympathize with that. If we experienced a great healing like this, we'd probably have a hard time keeping our mouths shut, too. But as a result, a great crowd gathers around Jesus. And they basically begin to swarm him. Luke says they come to hear the word of God and to be healed. And as a result, Jesus then retreats. And we see him retreating to spend time in prayer. Now, these are the details to this healing that maybe we aren't quite as familiar with today in the 21st century. Luke's original readers in the first century would have understood a lot of these things, but we, over time, have kind of forgotten them. But before we apply these details to the actual meaning of this passage, then, let me just add a brief point of application here. How many of us, I wonder, follow the example of Jesus in verse 16 of our text? We see Jesus becoming busier and busier in ministry. What does he do? He retreats and spends more time in prayer. How many of us, when we get busy, do that? I think many of us, if we're honest, when we get busy in life, whatever it is, doesn't have to be the work of ministry, whatever it is that occupies your day, as we get busier and busier, what do? We tend to neglect prayer. When I get busy, especially in ministry, and this is so foolish, but it's true, I tend to neglect prayer. The call, the brief challenge that I want to give here is for us to follow the example of our Savior. Follow His example. The busier we get, we should be recognizing the more we need the help of the Lord, and the more we should be seeking His help through prayer. Martin Luther, he was a man who knew the importance of following Christ's example here in Luke 5, verse 16. Luther, at the peak of his ministry, was preaching 4 or 5 times a week. He was teaching seminary classes every day. He was writing books. He was continuing his translation of the Bible into German. He was also a husband and a father. And he was balancing all these things, incredibly busy life. But Luther, as I said, was a man who was faithful to follow the example of Jesus here. And he wrote once that he said, "I have so much to do this day that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer." So again, the challenge, whatever your life's calling is, whatever you fill your days with, let this example of Jesus in verse 16 be a good reminder to all of us. We need to be in prayer, especially as we get busier and busier and our lives become more hectic. If Jesus needed to spend more time in prayer as his work of ministry became more and more intense, then how much more so do you and I need to turn to the Lord in prayer as our lives become more and more intense? Just a little point of application and a challenge to us all there. Let's return our focus to the narrative of this healing. As I said, hopefully by now we understand some of the details about this miracle a little better. And now, maybe some of you are starting to put this together in your mind. Maybe not, but hopefully all of us can begin to see how this miracle points towards this greater truth that Jesus is the one with the power and authority to truly make us clean. Leprosy, and I don't think this is too far of a stretch to say, leprosy in this passage, I believe, is synonymous with sin. It's a living illustration of sin. Think about all the things I just said about leprosy. It's a terrible, fatal disease, particularly in this case with this individual leper. It made a person a walking corpse. Their body was, in essence, for all practical purposes, already dead. And yet they were still living. And it cut the person off from the fellowship of God's people. And the reality is, spiritually, we are all born lepers. We are born into sin. We are born into corruption. We have inherited from Adam the guilt and stain of original sin. And then we ourselves live out that reality by our willful rebellion against God day in and day out. We choose to sin against Him. We are born as the walking dead. We have a fatal disease, and it is only a matter of time before we succumb and we die both physically and spiritually. And because of sin, like leprosy, we are cut off from fellowship. We're cut off from fellowship with the Holy God, because the Holy God cannot possibly be in fellowship with one who is not holy, and we are cut off from fellowship with His people. This is the reality of every single person on earth. This is the reality of the condition in which we were born. We don't start out with a blank slate, as some people believe. We don't become sinners because at some point we sin and make a terrible mess on that blank slate. We sin because we are born sinners. We sin because we are born living corpses. Every person who has ever lived since Adam and Eve, every person who has ever been born of a woman except for our Lord Jesus, is born a spiritual leper. And God in His holiness, because He is just, God in His holiness, because He is truly holy, pure, clean, He has the right to leave us in our state of spiritual leprosy. And He has the right and even the duty, because of His justice, to pour out His divine wrath upon sinners, upon those who have willfully rebelled against Him. And yet that is not what God has done. Yes, He is just. Yes, He in His holiness will not tolerate that which is unholy, that which is unclean. He will not enter into fellowship with the unclean. But he is also gracious. He is also merciful. As the Psalms say, he desires steadfast love. And so God the Father sent one who can make us clean, truly clean. Not just cleansed from physical disease, not just ceremonially clean, but truly clean. He has sent Jesus Christ. He has given us a greater priest than the priest of Israel, which confirmed the healing of leprosy. He has sent us a great high priest who went to the altar of the cross. And in doing so, he bore upon himself our sin and the punishment it deserved. And there, God's justice was satisfied. He sent us the one who is the spotless Lamb of God. The one, Jesus Christ, who is the once for all time perfect sacrifice, who takes away the sin, the uncleanliness, the spiritual leprosy of all who come to him by faith. He has given us himself, and through his own precious blood, he has made us clean. Jesus is the one who truly cleanses. And when a spiritual leper comes to Jesus, when a fallen, corrupt, spiritually dead sinner comes to him in reverence and in awe, as this leper did, in humility, in faith, and he says, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Jesus, God incarnate, stretches out his divine hand. He lays it upon the living corpse. He lays it upon the repentant sinner. And he does say, "I will be clean." Jesus has never once said, "I am not willing," to the one who comes to him in faith. Jesus is always willing and always able to cleanse the spiritual leper. And when his divine hand touches the sinner who comes before him in humility, in reverence, in awe, and in faith, that sinner is made new. They're not merely healed of physical disease. They are made a new creation in Jesus. Your guilt, your sin, the punishment you deserve, it is taken away immediately, completely, eternally. You are healed. You are cleansed. You are no longer a walking corpse. And you're brought out of that condemned community of lepers. You're brought out of the fallen race of men, and you are restored to fellowship with God. And you're restored and you're brought into the fellowship of God's covenant community, God's covenant people. Listen, we need to remember this. That leper and everyone who was physically healed by Jesus in their earthly life, even those who Jesus raised from the dead, they would all still go on to die. They would die. Not a single one of them is alive today. Do you realize that? The physical healing, it was miraculous and wonderful, but even that was only temporary. But in that moment, when that leper came to Jesus in faith and in repentance, and Jesus said, "You are clean," he received a greater work. There was a greater miracle done that day. Because a sinner who was dead in his trespasses and sins was raised to new everlasting life in Jesus Christ. He was made truly clean before the sight of the thrice holy God, and he was brought back into fellowship. And brothers and sisters, I often say this when I preach the gospel, And I was thinking about it this week as I was going through the sermon. I often say that I do pray and hope that this is true of every one of us here today. And as I was working my way through my sermon notes and sort of running through my sermon, I kind of just had to stop on Thursday or Friday, whenever it was, and just think, Lord, I do truly pray. I do truly hope that each and every one of you who's here today, each and every one of you watching this morning on the live stream, or who will listen to the sermon later, I do pray that all of you have come to Jesus for this cleansing. He will touch you. He will make you clean. He is willing to give you new life, new everlasting life, eternal life. He will do it. And I pray that He has done it in your life today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage and the great truth that it teaches us. Thank you for the healing and resurrection power that Jesus has. Thank you that He is the one to make us clean. Heal us of our spiritual leprosy. Bring us to new life. Father, I do pray, Lord, that everyone here has indeed come to Jesus as this leper did in repentance and faith, recognizing that He is indeed the Lord who has the power and the authority and the compassion and the tenderness and the willingness to cleanse us forever.